Word of mouth.
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 This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. 10 to 15,000 years ago, nearly 100 species of large animals known as megafauna roamed the Amazon forest before going extinct. A team of researchers from Oxford and Princeton universities studying the megafauna's effects on the ecosystem discovered that they were crucial in maintaining soil fertility. Chris Doughty is currently lecturer in ecosystem ecology within the Environmental Change Institute at Oxford. He's lead author of the megafauna study published in the journal Geoscience. Chris, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thank you.
So first, please, an idea of these enormous animals living in the Amazon rainforest in the Pleistocene era. It really stirs the imagination. So what kind of animals? What do they look like?
Well, it's really amazing. I mean, if you imagine the African savanna, basically, that took place in the Amazon. You had three large species of elephant-like animals. You had giant sloths larger than elephants. You had these animals called glyptodonts that were basically armadillos the size of small cars. So really incredible animals.
You say savanna. Of course, it's a rainforest now. And I guess part of your finding is that these animals helped make the rich rainforest possible. Tell us what happened. What role did they play in keeping the land and soil rich?
Yeah, that's right. So in the Amazon, most of the nutrients originate in the Andes mountain ranges, and they're kind of flushed into the forest through the river system. But in order to get from the river onto dry land, they need animals to basically eat the plants that are growing in the floodplains and move onto the dry land. And what we found is that big animals move more than small animals, and they eat more than small animals. So when you remove all the big animals from an ecosystem, you really stop this flow of nutrients outside of the floodplain onto the dry land.
What did your study find exactly about what these megafauna were contributing to the soil?
There's lots of studies that show that you can scale movement and how much animals eat by their body size. So what we did was we took these relationships based on just what we know, which is their body size, and we predicted how much do these animals need to eat, how much do they move on a daily basis. And based on these predictions, we can get a pretty good estimate of how they would have distributed these nutrients. And because big animals are so important in the movement of nutrients, that when you remove them, it just absolutely pretty much stops this flow of nutrients outside of this river system. And as a consequence, you have large areas of the Amazon today that really don't have enough of key nutrients like phosphorus. And I mean, it's still a very lush, biodiverse place, but the trees actually don't grow as quickly as they would have because they have this lack of phosphorus.
All right. If I'm following you correctly, these big animals spread nutrients, what, through their feces?
Yeah, and actually through their bodies, too. So, I mean, through both methods. So if you think about a big animal, it'll eat high phosphorus concentrations of plants in the floodplains, walk around randomly, and then deposit it, you know, either through their dung or they'll die at some point. The plants will then take up that phosphorus, and it starts the spread of phosphorus outside of the floodplain.
It is through these megafauna that the rainforest actually grew?
Well, no, I mean, you still have forests there, but they change the composition of the soil, and they just change the structure of the forest. Like, you can compare rainforests in Africa, and we actually have field sites in Gabon where there's lots of these forest elephants, and the forest is just very different. It's a more open forest. It's more nutrient-rich. The trees are actually bigger when you compare that to the Amazon. And we think a lot of those changes are because the Amazon co-evolved with these big animals, but it no longer has them.
Why? What happened to them?
It's a bit of a controversy still, but basically around 12,000 years ago, people arrived, and you also had a period of extreme climate change, what's called the Younger Dryas. It was actually a period of 1,000 years that got much colder. And people think that it was this dual human hunting plus this extreme climate change that really led to their extinction.
So essentially, the animals kept the land or helped keep the land fertile then. Did their extinction immediately affect the quality of the soil?
No, so this is one of the more interesting aspects of our finding, that we think it immediately led to some decrease, but we're actually still seeing some of these effects if our models are correct. In other words, even 12,000 years later, because these animals went extinct, phosphorus concentrations are still dropping in the Amazon basin. And the interesting thing is, this happened globally. We talked specifically about the Amazon, but these extinctions happened in North America, Eurasia, basically everywhere outside of Africa.
Meanwhile, in places like Africa and Southeast Asia, there's a lot of concern about the disappearance of megafauna now. You know, the big cats and the apes and the elephants who are losing population, being wiped out by poachers and other environmental forces. If that population of megafauna were to disappear, what does that mean?
Yeah, so, I mean, we can apply the same model looking forward. It's just as easy for us to say if elephants currently go extinct in Gabon. And I use Gabon as an example because just in the past 10 years, they've lost half of their elephant population. 1,000 years from now, the soil will be this amount less fertile. These animals play real ecosystem service that will be lost if they do go extinct.
Chris Doughty, I want to thank you for joining us.
Thank you. It's been nice.
Chris Doughty is lead author of a study on the effect of megafauna in the Pleistocene era on phosphorus in the soil. He's currently lecturing at the Environmental Change Institute at Oxford in the UK. We do have a link to his study and related articles at wordofmouthradio.org.